All right, we're back talking a little football. One True Podcast. Bryce Cherry alongside Tony Adame and John Werner. Not two Bryces in here. I don't know if y'all ever listen to the podcast, but the little jamming music that Chris Oliver puts at the start of the podcast, I mean,
We're here.
Yeah, it grooves. It really does. Yeah. Glad to have Tony back with us. He was out of town last week. But guys, after a nearly flawless opener that Baylor played against Northwestern State, the Bears looked a little bit shakier in their second win last week over SMU, at least from an offensive standpoint. The Bears were limited to a pair of field goals in that first half. That marked the first time they'd been shut out of the end zone in a half against a non-conference opponent since TCU in 2010. John, you remember that one. That was ugly. Ooh, ugly.
Really bad.
Given that the Bears did pick it up in the second half, do you expect that the slow start was more of a hiccup, or, you know, is it a sign of concern?
I think it's a little bit a sign of a concern because it sounded like they weren't quite ready for what SMU threw at them.
Yep.
Seth Russell said SMU showed some looks that they just didn't know were coming.
Yeah. And you know what he said in the press conference the other day that really – made me kind of raise my eyebrows and go, was he said something like, you know, we're not going to see a better defense than SMU. You remember him saying
that?
Yeah,
and I think they will see a better
defense. I think they will, too. I mean, I know he was giving credit, but good grief. I think they will see a better defense.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think it's a major worry, but I think it's something, you know, they ought to at least be a little concerned about.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you there. I think it's more of a hiccup. If anything, I think they can take some good things away from it, that their defense is, you know, John wrote a great article this week about how they'd stepped up and created some turnovers that led to scores. And, you know, you got to think of some outside influences here. On a Saturday in college football that's following up one of the best ones we can remember last week, not a lot's going on this week, and the news cycle gets dominated by their old head coach on college game day just a couple hours before their game, which, you know, they're all tuned into. You know, he's dominating the news cycle. Art Briles is, and that's it can shift your focus a little bit, especially that close to game time, and I'm not throwing it all on that, but you got to think maybe their heads weren't in it, but impressive second half. They bounce back. They still, you know, it's still a blowout. I think you can take some good from what it did for the team.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I did have someone ask me on Saturday in the press box, do you think that the Briles interview got in their head at all? And I hadn't really even considered that, and that's a great point. I mean, they can't be oblivious to it. I mean, you know, it is, like you said, their old coach, you know, their old leader, and, you know, and he has sort of dominated the news cycle a lot in college football. So that could have been, you know.
Especially that morning, you know, they're all sitting around. They're watching college game day. That's what they probably do leading up till, you know, 3 or 4 hours before the game where they really have to lock it in. But that's when that was on, and I think maybe it got to them a little bit. And they all still, I assume, have their phones up until 2 or 3 hours before the game starts. So
I'm going to kind of go in between you two guys. I think it's maybe a mild sign of concern, just because I did see some things in that first half where I'm just not completely sold yet on Baylor's receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, KD Cannon has been a guy that's been an incredible deep threat his first 2 years here at Baylor. And now Corey Coleman's gone, Jay Lee is gone, and they need KD to be a guy. And he had a good game. Let's not, you know, he had 90-whatever yards and a touchdown. But they need him to be a little bit of the Corey Coleman, Terrence Williams, you know, the number one guy. Lynx Hawthorne is a good veteran guy, but, you know, a guy that's not going to probably catch more than a couple of passes a game. So guys like Chris Platt and Blake Lynch and who am I leaving out? Pooh Strickland. They need these young guys who are all getting playing time for the first time to step up. And I think they're still learning. And, you know, I think it's going to be a process. It's going to be a growing process, so we'll see. Baylor closes out its non-conference schedule this week, Friday night, finally our last Friday night game against Rice on the road. The Owls are going to certainly be glad to be back in Houston following a pair of blowout losses on the road to Western Kentucky and Army. Clearly, guys, Baylor has a talent advantage against Rice. I mean, that's nobody's going to argue that. But, you know, is there any chance this is a trap game?
You know, I really don't think so. I just don't think Rice is good enough. You look at their stats, even though they were on the road, that, boy, I mean, just lopsided for the other team.
Mm.
I mean, you know, and I think Baylor's clearly going to be the best team they will have faced in their first three games. But, you know, being on the road for the first time might affect Baylor a little bit. I don't know if they'll win by 30, which is a spread, but I think they'll win pretty handily.
You know, I don't think there's concern for a trap game here, especially because that slow start last week, they're going to be super focused on that. You know, setting the tempo right away, they're going to come out probably a lot sharper than they were. Being on the road for the first time, for them, that's going to be, you know, the best dress rehearsal against really a not great team. To, you know, get everything in line, get all the timing right for being on the road, I think that could really help them. I don't see a trap game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. I don't see much of a problem for Baylor in this one. You know, I think as Baylor's non-conference schedules get tougher down the road, you know, years ahead, I think, you know, they're going to be tested a little bit more in non-conference, but their schedule is soft, I mean, in non-conference. And so, you know, I don't see much of a problem here for the Bears. Around the country, the Big 12 is not exactly, you know, just making waves. Only three teams in the league are undefeated here in mid-September. And a pair of the presumed frontrunners, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, have already suffered disappointing losses. So, you know, 2 years into this college football playoff, this is now the third year that we're entering, the conference is 1-for-2 in making it. What's the best scenario for the league to get in this year?
Well, I think the best scenario is if Houston was already in the league instead of just a
candidate. Great point.
Yeah, yeah. That would help. That would certainly help.
Show they're awfully good against OU. To me, I think it's going to be Texas or Oklahoma that's going to have the best shot at the playoff, and that Red River game is going to be huge this year. And, of course, OU has to beat Ohio State this weekend.
Right.
But I think if they do beat them, I think they're right back in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, you know, a surprise winner of the Big 12 would be probably someone that had a loss or two, which we've seen in the past. And, yeah, you know, OU to run the table is probably their best shot right now because that loss doesn't look that bad. Like you guys both said in that opener, that's so early in the season. Probably that game might come down to determine the Big 12 championship, that Red River game.
I'm going to say Texas is the best shot. And I know that sounds crazy because I don't think we think that the Longhorns can run the table. But I think if, you know, and that is a huge if Texas were to somehow, you know, go on a run and run the table, you're talking about a win over Notre Dame. You're talking about a road win at Cal. You know, Texas has a little bit better non-conference schedule than some of the teams in the Big 12. And then, you know, obviously then you're running the gauntlet in the Big 12. So, plus you've got the name. I mean, you're Texas. I think that matters so much, as we've seen in this college football playoff thing. I think 2 years ago when it first started, you know, the fact that Ohio State was Ohio State. Granted, they had just kicked Wisconsin's butt in the conference championship game. But I think that mattered, you know, when they were kind of splitting hairs, Ohio State, Baylor, TCU. You know, I think that mattered, the brand name. And Texas has that brand name. So I think that's maybe the best scenario. And I'm not sure that that's a very plausible scenario. I mean, Texas running the table, I mean, we wouldn't have expected that. So I think, you know, I think the Big 12 is going to be shut out of this thing at year's end. We'll see. A lot of football to be played. And, you know, as John said, Oklahoma does get Ohio State this weekend, a chance to kind of redeem itself with a big game. The Sooners got things back in order a little bit with a runaway win over Louisiana Monroe, but the Buckeyes aren't exactly ULM. Ohio State has given up just 13 points on the year. lopsided wins over Bowling Green and Tulsa. And they're listed as a two-point favorite. I think they started out 2.5, even playing on the road in Norman. How do you guys see this one coming out?
I think Oklahoma's going to win, mainly because they're at home. They know this game is basically the season for them. They've got to win it, like we mentioned, to get into the playoff. And, you know, I think they're going to be really fired up. I think they're going to be, you know, they played against Houston, which wasn't too good. And, you know, I think they're going to learn from that game and just come out playing great.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma bounces back. It's a huge game for them. It's hard to see, you know, Baker Mayfield coming back home and, you know, laying two eggs to start the season out of three games. You don't see that happening. And Ohio State, you know, they're not the same team they were last year, the year before that. They've got a lot of new guys in place. So they do have a tough defense, but that's a very difficult place to play at.
I like the Buckeyes in this one. I think Oklahoma didn't look prepared against Houston in that opener. I think this is a tough matchup. You know, we'll see. But, you know, I was high on the Sooners, and then they went and kind of laid that egg against Houston, and I'm a little bit more down on them now. So I think I'm going to take the Buckeyes. We've also actually got a conference game on the docket this week, early kind of for that. TCU hosts Iowa State, and the Horned Frogs fell out of the top 25 this week after a double overtime loss to Arkansas. Gary Patterson's usually vaunted defense, usually probably one of the best one or two units in the Big 12, currently ranks 99th in the country in total defense after two games. Naturally, the Frogs probably shouldn't have much of a problem with Iowa State, but do you think this is shaping up as a bit of like a backslide kind of year for TCU?
You know, I don't think they're going to win the conference, but I still think they're going to be okay. I just can't see that defense playing that bad the whole year.
Mm.
I just think at some point they're going to get it turned around. You know, they've got a lot of experience on that defense. You know, they had a bunch of injuries last year, so a whole bunch of guys got to play. So, you know, you would think it would be better, and I think it will get better. But I don't think they'll win the title. I still see them going something like, you know, 10-3, 9-4, something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That sounds about right. You know, I think their defense is going to get a lot better. And on the flip side of that, I think their offense is going to get a lot worse. Because I think Kenny Hill is pretty limited in what he can do. You know, if you watched him play at Texas A&M, you see, you know, it's kind of a one-trick pony. It's not going to be something that can be – he hasn't shown he can be consistent over the course of the whole year. And I don't think, you know, especially the drop-off from having Boykin last year, to me, was an amazing quarterback who could do a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Hill can bring that to their offense. And like I said, he's pretty limited. I think the defense will get better, though. I agree with you.
Yeah, you know, I can't – imagine TCU becoming Texas Tech, where it's just a team that puts up crazy offensive numbers and gives up just as much. I mean, you would think Gary Patterson's going to get some stuff figured out on defense. They've still got some players on that side of the ball. I think where maybe they're hurting a little bit more is maybe in the secondary. You know, they've had some guys the last few years that have been – just phenomenal back there in the secondary, and some of those guys are now in the NFL. So, you know, I think they're still learning, figuring things out. But I agree with you guys. I think they do get some stuff figured out, and you know, 9 wins sounds about right to me. You know, they're going to be in the mix. I mean, they're going to be no pushover. I don't think. All right, so I got a little off script here at the end for you guys. Little game show that is sweeping the nation, or at least sweeping the podcast room here. So this is the way this is going to work. This is called Name That Relative. All right? Mm. And I'm going to give you a college football player, or at least a recently graduated college football player. And you should be able to probably figure out, based on maybe the last name, who is his relative. I'm going to say he's the son of, or he's the nephew of, or something like that. And you've got to figure this out. And we're going to go one at a time. And the first one to miss is the loser. The other guy wins. I've got about six
I was about
here.
To say the same thing.
I've got about six here. I don't think y'all are gonna get through all six. So,
okay.
Let me just say off the bat, they will not be Shane Buechele or Kenny Hill or Patrick Mahomes because we just talked about them on the podcast last week.
Throw us one softball.
No. So, Tony, I'm going to let you go first. So, your guy, Boise State quarterback Brett Rippon, is the nephew of?
Mark Rippon.
Very good. Ding. Number one.
Former Washington Redskins quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. All Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
All right. Listen to this name closely, Johnny, okay?
Okay.
Notre Dame defensive back Jesse James Bon Jovi is the son of?
John Bon Jovi?
Very good.
That's right. That's his name. B-O-N-G-I-O-V-I is his name on his birth certificate.
There you go.
Wow.
See,
good job, John.
He is going
that's good,
to so
though.
Beat you.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Chance here.
All right, Tony, your next guy, former UCLA wide receiver, just recently left the program, Cordell Broadus.
Snoop Doggy Dogg in the house.
Yes, Snoop Doggy Dogg is in the house.
Cordell Broadus Jr., I got that. Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right. You also get a UCLA guy, John. Former UCLA defensive back Justin Combs is the son of?
P. Daddy.
P. Diddy, very good.
That's close enough.
We'll count that.
Yeah.
Diddy.
Whatever. All right.
He's had three or four.
He's had three or four different names,
so he could get confused.
Y'all are actually doing very well. You may actually run my list here, and if that happens,
that's
then you both win. Okay, this guy actually has been out, I think, a little bit of time. So, former Morehouse running back John David Washington. Is the son of
Training Day, the Equalizer, Glory,
yes.
Denzel Washington, Magnificent Seven comes out next week.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
By the way, looks great.
Yeah, it does.
Him and Chris Pratt. Wow.
All right, I think you have a good chance of running the table. This is a lot of pressure on you, John. All right,
no pressure.
Former Duke wide receiver Hud Mellencamp is the son of.
Hey, I can even tell you the movie. John Mellencamp, obviously he's probably a big Paul Newman fan. The movie HUD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's got to be why you named the kid
Very
that.
Good.
That's great.
You know, I actually thought you would trip up on Justin Combs. I thought that was going to be the one that caught you.
He got the two tough ones. What would have been the two tough ones.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi and Puff Daddy.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, we may bring this back.
Pretty hip.
Or another game show. We'll see. But good job, guys. Your parting gifts are at the door.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.